الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. Dear believers, السلام عليكم وعيد مبارك.
عليكم السلام وعيد مبارك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل ويشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له ملك وله حمد وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وآله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we thank Allah, we praise Him. He's the Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge. We seek His aid, we beg for His mercy and His forgiveness. We put our complete faith and trust in Him. Mighty and sublime is He. We witness that there's no deity, no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He is without partners or associates, and there's none like unto Him. To Him be the dominion or the rule. To Him be all unqualified praise. And He has power over all things. We further witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, that he is Allah's slave, servant, and His messenger. We pray the prayer and the peace be on him, his family, his descendants, the companions, the righteous all. And we extend that peace to you, O Muslims. We say, Ayyuhal Muslimun, and on you also be the peace. Ameen. Wa amabad. And what follows of that salutation. Dear family, as we begin this khutbah today, I have to say I don't believe there's anywhere in any lovelier picture than what I'm looking at right now. This is a beautiful picture. We have our various dress on and looking dignified and beautiful in our dress. And then I see a glow. I see smiling faces, light on our faces, coming to the Eid. We're at the Eid. Now, dear family, we don't think we're going to talk too long today. I don't know if you listened to how I said that. But alhamdulillah, I'm a pretty disciplined speaker. The point is, there's really three areas that I want to look at today. Yes, I want to talk a little bit about what today is about, really very briefly about what today is about. And then I want to go into a tafsir of Imam Khalifa Ramadan, a student of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, radiallahu anh, making some connections with what we've gone through and specifically with the number three. And you'll understand what I'm talking about when we get into that. And then lastly, I want to highlight and bring to your conscious mind what happened this Ramadan to Masjid Bilal, to the community of Masjid Bilal. I've been with you all from the beginning, and this Ramadan had a different flavor to it. This Ramadan took us to a different level. This Ramadan gave us insights into who we are and what we're able to accomplish. So dear family, we want to look at that. Praise be to Allah. Allah says in the Quran, so set thy faith steadily and truly to the faith. Establish his religion according to the handiwork or the pattern in which Allah made the universe. Let there be no change in that pattern, for that is the standard religion, but most among the human beings understand not. I just paraphrase Surah Ar-Rum 30, the 30th ayah. Now, why I'm doing this, again, today is Eid. Specifically, Eid al-Fitr. We have the two Eids, Adha and Fitr. Now, again, I'm not going to say a whole lot about Adha, but if you understand the meaning of Adha, and our Imam taught us that Adha is the bigger Eid, the greater Eid, and we'll see what happens. We'll see the participation in the Muslim world, Eid al-Adha versus Eid al-Fitr. And if I was a betting man, I would bet you there's going to be more Muslims present today than in 2 months and 10 days. They don't get it. It's the bigger Eid. We know that Fitr comes from Fatara, which deals with the original pattern, the original origin, nature, and Adha has to do with the dawning, or all lit up, or all bright, enlightenment, and it comes after the Hajj. That's all I'm gonna say on that. Put a pin in that to be continued, all right? The focus here, Eid. We say it means festival. We say it means reoccurring happiness, and that's true. But what's so beautiful, dear family, it is a happiness that we anticipate because it comes around the same time every year. See, we look forward to this. We anticipate this happiness. See, next week, somebody can buy you a car. That's a different kind of happiness. You weren't expecting that happiness. But this happiness on Eid Day is special for the believers. And it's something that we look forward to and anticipate. But what else do we look at here? Imam Muhammad radiallahu an gave us insight years ago. And again, this is not new for us. We should be familiar with what I'm talking about. This Eid is all about 30 days of having an opportunity for self-assessment, 30 days for having an opportunity to reconnect with Allah, 30 days of having an opportunity to take self-introspection and get those things in line that have gotten out of alignment the other 11 months of the year. And again, if we're honest, and this doesn't mean we done went totally astray or we totally off our deen, I'm not suggesting that at all, but if we're honest, Ramadan comes always on time. Ramadan meets us when sometimes we're hanging on by a thread and we get to hold on and say, Ramadan, I know there's another side to that too. You know, some of us, Ramadan, and some of us, Ramadan, right? I know how this works because it's not easy.
Right.
All of us are sleep deprived. I won't be mad at you if you fall asleep on the khutbah. I understand. Okay, I might fall asleep while I'm talking to you. So I understand how all this works. But again, Imam said the greatest joy that the human being, why it's so happy for us, why it's festive, why it's Eid, is because we're being reconciled again with nature. And we've told you about this. We already said Fitr. The verse I read said Deen al-Fitr. Fitr. Same root word. Every night when we broke our fast, it's called iftar. All of these come from the same root. And brothers and sisters, I know I kind of clowned a couple of our young people and maybe a couple of our adults. You know, we breaking fast with Skittles. We breaking fast with donuts, Milky Way, you understand. And then there's some of them going twisted. You know, if you really think about it, Imam, it is natural. You know, if they put to this, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam traditionally broke the fast with the dates. But that's symbolic in a sense. Some of you don't like dates. Some of us are turned off. That's all right. You're not a bad Muslim if you don't like dates. That was the Prophet's preference, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the point is, it's from nature. So get you an apple, get you a banana, get you some fruit, raisins, grapes, cherries, praise be to Allah, it's all good. Nature, fatara, fitr, iftar, from the original pattern, the original nature. And I'll just say this and move on. Adam represents that fitra nature. And the going astray of Adam in both Bible and Quran is talking about the seduction away from his purity, seduction away from his innocence. And that's when the problems began for the human being. So again, brothers and sisters, we're the children of Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve, I can't leave a sister out. We're the descendants of them. And again, Adam though, like I said, I'm not gonna say too much. But Adam represents that characteristic in both the male and the female. And it's twofold. It's that original pattern in nature, and it's the intellect of the human being. Intellect has no gender. We think in gender, but brilliance has no gender. And we have brilliance among our sisters and our brothers. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Three, we already talked about the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ramadan's beginning is mercy, its middle is forgiveness, and its ending is safety, deliverance, or protection from the hellfire. Now, I remember I said three, but also what I want us to see is that this is not willy-nilly and happenstance. There's a logic to this. And I'm going to show you in other things that I bring out, the logics, but particularly when we start talking about the soul, there's a logic here. There's a reason why the stages of development develop the way they develop. If we are getting Allah's mercy in the beginning of Ramadan, think about that. Perhaps because we're not quite in the groove yet. Maybe we're supposed to finish eating suhoor at 5:30, but it goes to 5:35. I just got to get that last glass of water, that last piece of fruit in me. Well, you actually broke the disciplines of the fast, but the mercy of Allah may overlook that because you're not ready and you're not in the groove. Maybe you're not used to getting up at 4 a.m. or whatever the situation is. But then because of the mistakes you have made, you forget forgiveness in the next 10 days. So, dear family, if Allah has mercy on you and if He forgives you, what outcome other than deliverance or safety or protection from the hellfire can you expect? That's the destiny or the outcome of Allah's mercy and forgiveness. Yes, praise be to Allah, because we understand we can't earn our way into Jannah. Yes, we want our deeds to be heavy on the right and light on the left, meaning good deeds heavy, light, bad deeds light. But even then, Allah says, if I was to punish the human being for the wrongs that they've done, I wouldn't leave one of you here. Now, some of us don't even know that ayah in the Quran, because we think we're the ones that's got it all together. And if you really want to be on point, you need to be like me. Otherwise, your Islam is lacking. Now, Omar Shaker's not saying this. This is an attitude in the world. I don't want y'all to be like me. I want you to be better than me. Praise be to Allah. But this is the idea of what we're saying. So the three. We also know as a sign in the women's pregnancy that a natural, normal, I should say, childbirth goes roughly 9 months. The sisters will have to help me with the weeks, because that's when you go to the doctor, they talk weeks, they don't talk months. But another language they use is trimester. There's that three again, trimester. And the baby is not delivered in the first trimester. We don't want them to be delivered in the second trimester. We want to hold them in there as long as we can, because the longer they're in there, the more their development and the greater the chance of their survival and good health. But the baby is delivered in the third trimester. Praise be to Allah. Getting ready, developing up until that point, listen to my language, family, developing in that womb, developing up to that point and getting ready and being prepared to be delivered. We don't like to see them being delivered ahead of time. That concerns us. We don't like to see babies coming out feet first and butt first. We want them coming out head first. But what else is another connection? Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got his first revelation and he was commanded to read, to make a long story short, he got three commands to read. The first two commands, he says, I can't read. And he kept being squares and released. And then finally, on the third Iqra, he's now reading. I'm making connections, family. Three. Praise be to Allah. And we won't even talk about the wudu. We wash our hands how many times? Our face how many times? You get it?
Yes.
Three. Praise be to Allah. So again, we see the natural childbirth as a sign. We also can connect this to Ramadan not being the fourth month, not being the 12th month. Ramadan is the ninth month. So in a sense, we go into a womb in Ramadan. We go into a cocoon in Ramadan. And we're in there incubating. We're in there gestating. We're in there, things start bubbling. Some of you, all you're reading stuff, you're excited about things. You've been reading it for 50 years, but it means something different for you this time. And it ignites you and turns you on in such a way that, man, I'm ready to do something. Yes, you become alive again. And brothers and sisters, our faith waxes and wanes. So some of us have been in a funk for a while. You don't have to raise your hand, that's all right. Some of us have been in a funk for a while, just trying to hold on. Life is beating us down, and we don't have the community support that we need. Now, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. We care about each other, we want to be there for each other, but we don't have the structure that's needed to support community life. And that's the destiny, but we're getting there now. We're getting there because, again, the masjid, in my opinion, are the people. And those of you that have been with us for a while, we done met in a lot of different places, but we still together. Allahu Akbar. And getting stronger, in my opinion. Getting stronger. So, again, we get weak. Ramadan strengthens us. It lifts us back up. We might hear something in a khutbah, read something in the Quran that makes us lively again. And makes us lively. Now, we also see that the child gets all of its nutrients, everything it needs while in the womb of the mother, and the child doesn't have to do anything. And we know that Ummah is connected to Umm, and Ummah is connected to womb and all of that. So again, I'm not going to say a whole lot about this, but we need to be working towards the concept of New Africa. The concept of New Africa is not a destination. It's not necessarily a place. It's an attitude, brothers and sisters, that you and I are determined to become self-sufficient. That you and I want to do the same thing that the Irish Americans done, the Jewish Americans done, the Chinese American has done, and even the Arab American has done, in the sense that you want to have a community, a neighborhood that supplies the needs of all of its citizens. Not that we're going to be exclusive, we're going to be inclusive. But the dignity of our soul demands that you and I be in charge of something, that we be running something. Where are our dry cleaners?
Right.
Where are our grocery stores?
Right.
Where are our bowling alleys and skating rinks? Where are our high skyscrapers, office buildings? Yes, New Africa. This is a vision of our Imam. Now, something happened. I'm keeping an eye on the time. During Laylatul Qadr this year, during the Night of Power, we had a beautiful discussion. I only want to bring one point out of the discussion, and then I'll get back to it before I conclude. Brother Doug was sharing with us, and you're always going to hear this. Some of our younger people, newer people, man, why y'all keep talking about the Nation of Islam? Why y'all keep going back to our life? Why do you keep studying what you study in American history? Why do you keep going back to the thing? You need to know your history. You need to connect to your history. And when I point out what I'm about to point out to you, if there was any doubt, Allah has been with us from the very beginning. Even though we think we had a type of Islam, we had Islam, whatever you think we had, we were 50% Muslim, whatever you think we were. And I agree, it was a type of Islam.
Yes,
but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't hide that from us. I'm not teaching you religion, I'm preparing you for religion.
That's right.
But Allah is with us, was with us even then. Now, Brother Doug shared something to me. I caught the tail end of the Nation of Islam, but Sister Mahasa was born and raised in Islam, and she admitted this enlightened her too. Brother Doug said that the teachings in the Nation of Islam had three aspects of it. Three stages of development, three whatever you want to call it. The first stage is the animalistic stage, primal stage, if you will. The second stage, he said, was the self-accusing spirit. Now you get guilty, you got a conscience. And then he said the third stage, let me get the word, was it excellence, paradise?
Angelic
stage. Thank you, praise be to Allah. Angelic stage. And then when he said that, Sister Mahasan and I made eye contact. Because we saw in what he was saying the three developments of the soul. And I'm going to give them to you, tell you just what they are, and I also want you to see what I said before. There's a reason why Nefs Amara comes first. Nefs Lawama is second, and Nefs Mutmaina is third. There's a reason for that. And sometimes you and I take a negative, or we make negative, what is not negative, what is necessary to produce the next level. Now, what are we talking about? He said animalistic. Amara, if you can hear Amr in there, is a word that means command. But what it also suggests is you can't help yourself. You are compelled. We call it impulsive. We say impetuous, the impetuous soul, the impulsive soul, the impetuous self. And our children are a good example of that. They're very honest. What comes in their mind comes right out of their mouth. No discretion. They embarrass us sometimes. They walk into a grocery store and see a 400-pound person, and they say, "Ew, she's fat." Just come right out of the mouth. Stop that, Abdul. Stop. Don't say that. Right? You get up in their face. "Hey, how you doing today? Everything good?" "Your breath stinks." They don't care. Come right at you, tell you just what time it is. You and I'll just, you know, blink a little bit and say, "Yeah, ooh, could I offer you a mint?" Right? That's how we do it, right? Praise be to Allah. That's that impetuous self. But again, the impetuous nature is when you make mistakes. And the making of the mistakes helps you grow and develop in knowledge and wisdom. If you don't make no mistakes, you can't grow. And some of us are afraid. We want to be perfect. We don't want to make no mistakes. No, the benefit, the growth is in the mistakes. And the wisdom comes. So from that impetuous self, you go to Lawama, and now because you've made mistakes, you've learned a little bit about right and wrong, you have been corrected. In other words, mistakes cause pain a lot of times. And we want to avoid pain, so I ain't gonna do that again. So now you're conscious. When you see yourself heading down that path, you say, "Now, is this pleasing? Is this displeasing? This good? Is this bad? This good for me or bad for me?" Now you're in that self-accusing spirit or the self-reproaching spirit where you have a conscience. And then, dear family, look at the progression. Animal level to a conscious level. See, animals are not conscious, they're instinctive. Even though that spider builds a beautiful web and the bee builds a beautiful cone, they didn't go to school to learn that. That's instinctive. And then they manifest that. Let me keep it moving. The last one, Mutmaina. Now in your development, see, some of us thinks it's add water and stir. We think we get spooky. I'm going to sit under a tree and I'm going to have an epiphany. I'm going to sit under a tree and I have all my stuff together. It's a process. It's a journey. So now that you've developed and you're conscious, you can reach a state of development that Mutmain is defined at. The soul that has found or arrived at complete rest. We can't be at rest when we're in inner turmoil. We can't be at rest when guilt is gnawing at us. We can't be at rest when we're below our excellence, when we know we're jiving, when we know we're not doing all we can. But when you give all of your effort, you're conscious, then You know, sometimes all of us say this. Somebody still has an issue with you. Maybe you've apologized, you've corrected the situation, and what do we say? My conscience is clear. That's they stuff.
Right.
But you can only come to that when you're honest with yourself and know that you have done all that you can do. So dear family, not only Maina being a soul at complete rest, you are pleased and pleasing. But also that same surah, I'll give it to you later, says, enter you among my servants, enter you my paradise. Can I say it the way the Imam said it? Enter among my workers. Enter among my paradise. See, brothers and sisters, to be righteous takes work. It takes effort. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, not equal are those that sit at home and receive no hurt with those that are on the front line, that those that are striving with their goods and their persons. To all in faith, you're going to get a reward, but I've distinguished those that sacrifice, distinguished those that work. So brothers and sisters, one of the prerequisites, we think we're going to be sitting back, harps, grapes being busted in our mouth, reclined on trees, seats of whatever. You got to do something to earn that. And that earning it is not alone going to get you there, but you got to have some equity, some sweat equity, some work. So the condition to being entered into paradise is to be one of Allah's workers. Now you may not do it like me. You may not do it like her or like him. See, that can be a problem too. Giving value only to certain things. Take your gifts, your passions, your talents, and make them happen. And use them in the path of Allah. Some of us are orators, some of us are artists, whatever. You're only in competition with yourself. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear family, as I begin to conclude this khutbah, it is not easy what I'm talking about. If I can go back to conception as a sign, it is not easy. When you're giving birth on different levels, it's a process. And we heard of labor pains. It's painful. So my point is what, dear family? My point is this. For you and I to even be here today, there had to take place a conception between sperm and egg. And, excuse me, sisters, for using this language, the sperm enter a hostile environment. We are told millions and hundreds of millions of sperm are released, but only one conceived with that. Matter of fact, there's a fight going on. There's sperm being killed, swimming upstream to make that connection. And only one of us got through. If you're twins, then something else happened. But I'm looking at every one of y'all that made it, every one of you that got through. Not easy. It's difficult. It's a struggle to give forth life on all levels. On all levels. And Ramadan is a struggle. Ramadan gives you discipline. You can't eat when you want to eat. You can't break the fast 11 o'clock at night. Say, I can go longer. Yeah, I know it's 8:40, but hey, I can go longer. I'm gonna break my fast Tuesday afternoon. So you're making it up as you go along. Part of the test and the challenge is the discipline. Stop in the morning when we're supposed to. I need to say that again for myself. Stop in the morning when you're supposed to. And break at night. Immediately, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, because it's not about how long you can go, it's about how well you obey and how well you keep the discipline. We're also taught, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, I'm closing up my pad now. We're also taught that if our fast is successful, all of your sins have been forgiven. A new start, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, now I wouldn't put all our hopes on that. See, some of our brothers and sisters, this is the only time they do anything.
Right.
Come to Juma. They making as many prayers as they can because they heard something about the fard prayers is 70 times more, and the sooner prayers is equal to a fard. Let me get it all in these 30 days. And then I don't know what they do in the other 12 months. Allahu alam on that. It's not my place to say. At the same time, though, Allah is so merciful that we can look forward to and expect mercy from Allah. And we should seek it. We seek it in the Tarawih prayers. But specifically, we seek it in Laylatul Qadr, in the night of destiny, the night of honor, the night of power. Because there's so many hadith that suggest if you find the night of power, if you hit it on the right night, and if you do your Tarawih Salat, that your sins will be forgiven. So brothers and sisters, that's what we're looking for. Not that we're bad people, don't get me wrong. I never believed that idea that we're sinners and corrupted. No, forget all of that. The point is, we have potential to be harmful to ourselves and others. So here's an opportunity to be forgiven. So a successful Ramadan, just like a successful Hajj, the slate is wiped clean. Yes, and that's important. Just like when those of us took Shahadatain, the previous sins forgiven, etc. So brothers and sisters, in concluding, Allah has blessed our community. I told you we're going to talk a little bit about what we saw this Ramadan. Allah is blessing more and more people to find us, and more people are relocating. And the good news is these are the types of people that don't sit on the sidelines long. They make a quick assessment, they realize what they bring to the table, and they're immediately willing to jump in and work. Immediately willing to start getting some things done. And we've seen that in many people. I don't mean to just start naming people. Gotta do a little naming, but the danger in naming is you leave people out. So forgive me already for leaving you out. However, I gotta look at some things. Look at what the Abdurrahman family brought to San Antonio. Yes. We're doing projects like we've never done before. We're having competitions. You in for a treat tonight, 6 p.m., right back here at Mass. Yes, we have Eid every year. But is it that this one's going to be a little different? And it's good. Look at what Olai and Juma did this Ramadan. We've had iftars before, salats before, but we had fun too while we were learning. Yes. Sitting up here, Imam. Man, I didn't know that. Didn't know that either. Huh? Yeah, I'm not afraid to let y'all know this. It ain't no problem for me. I'm your brother. I'm a human being. I'm a student of this religion who's been given a trust. And I'm receptive enough to don't act like I know so I can really know. You understand what I'm saying? Teach me, advise me. Wonderful. Now, of course, the challenge with all of this is we're going to have to outdo ourselves next year. We don't want status quo. We always want to grow and evolve. But again, I have to mention our young brothers and sisters. Sister Alaya, Sister Naima, I'm looking for, did I miss her?
She had to go to school.
I ain't mad at her. Sister Naima, yes. Sister Tasmin, Sister Hassana. All of our young sisters, Brother Sudan, yes. When we look around, this is a blessing for us. I'm looking around because I don't want to leave nobody out. So I'm looking. Did I say to Corey? Yeah, I'm saying it now. Yeah, praise be to Allah. So again, if I forget you, you still get the point. We're not doing this for spotlight. We're not doing this to be recognized, even though we should express our appreciation. We're doing it for Sabilillah. Fisibilillah, subhanAllah. Fisibilillah, in the path of Allah. That's important. Why is that important? Because if Allah is the object and Allah is the reason for your doing, other people can't frustrate you and disappoint you. The people hating on you don't make you stop. Oh, they didn't like me. They didn't do that. They didn't. So what? Keep moving. Keep doing what you're doing. So, brothers and sisters, I see a spirit among us. A spirit that's growing us closer and greater family. I really got to know some of you all this Ramadan. When we had our spirited discussion on beating our wives. I know some people gonna get that. Man, I knew it. Hey, ma'am, just confess. Let me clean that up. For those of you that weren't here. Islam does not promote, nor do the men of Imbir, to my knowledge, beat our wives. But what happened was we were dealing with this idea in the Quran that when you find displeasure in your wife, and Brother Munir helped us to understand specifically what that's talking about. See, Brother said, I can't get into all this, okay? I'm winding down. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. The rest of you, you catch up. Just talk to me later. The point I'm making is the idea that the average Muslim has is that as a man, if I'm upset with my wife or I'm displeased with my wife, I admonish her first. For some that translates into cussing her out, but that's not what it means. Then I forget to share the, I cease to share the bed with her. And then lastly, I knock her teeth out. That's what some people think. All right, I'm embellishing a little bit. You get my point. But the idea is beat her. It's in many translations of the Quran, beat, beat, beat. But Allah blessed us years ago. This didn't set well in our soul, so we looked up that word, daraba, the root word that deals with beat. And yes, strike, beat is one of its meanings, and then there's even layers to that, but there's other meanings like avoid, make an example to, leave, etc. And we talked about that. And the brothers gave their opinion, and the sisters waited patiently, and then they jumped in and said, now let me tell you what's really going on. And they broke it down for us. Beautiful discussion that we had among ourselves. And when a person is passionate about something, you can tell the facial expression changes. And you can tell, look in their eyes, they're serious. But what else do you gain, brothers and sisters? You gain insight into that person's psyche, the way they think, what's important to them. That's what I mean. We get to know you. I'm learning you. Y'all hear from me enough. And believe me, when I teach the religion, you're getting me. Just what you hear is what I'm about. Not perfectly. There's always room for improvement. But if you've been listening for these, you know Imam Shaka. So when I get a chance to hear from you on these issues, because we'll be polite, politically correct, but if you hit somebody's button, all that goes out the window. And then you get to understand who and what they really are and what's on their mind. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We're getting to know each other. We're getting to know each other. And then other topics came from that. My point is, we're seeing where some of our deficiencies are. We're seeing areas that we need to address. We talked about family life. We talked about relationships. We talked about why brothers marry outside of the religion. Why are Muslim men marrying non-Muslim women? Yeah, we got into that a little bit. And we did a little head analyzation, and then we had to bring the exclamation point. What does the Quran say? What does Muhammad the Prophet say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what it's all about. Yes, dear family. So as your imam, when I see our needs, you obligate me to address them. And I want to say this. I'm getting ready to sit down. I want to say this. Two last things. Brothers and sisters, your leadership is empowering. Your leadership does not want to do everything and is not going to do everything. Your leadership acknowledges the energy the brilliance, the gifts that you all have, and we invite you to realize them in this community. Things that are not done, let's get them done. Yes, I'd like to be cheerleader sometime. You the imam out front. Yes, yeah, I'm out front. But Imam Muhammad taught us that Khalifa also means to come from behind. Y'all can look that up on your own. Sometimes it's not good to be out front. Sometimes you need to be behind because I can't see what's going on behind me when I'm out front. Get it? Praise be to Allah. So I'm inviting you, family. And until we're in a position, you know, because sometimes people might get frustrated, you know, where's the imam? Where's the imam? Well, brothers and sisters, until we're in a position to take care of our imam financially so he can take care of it. This is not a plug. I'm making a point here. I'm all right. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But when you want that type of time, when you want him at every event, when you want him here for five prayers, when you want those kind of things, you got to be willing to free him from finance, working for money. I know this might sound weird for you, man. That sounds like the pimp game. No, we ain't talking about that. Really, the best situation is if your leader is financially independent and don't have to take a salary from you. Because taking salaries brings more baggage, but I digress. The only point that I'm making is really this. All of us make up the one. All of us doing our part makes up the one. It's not just the imam. It's not one individual. It's not the board only. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. And brothers and sisters, our maturity requires that when we're really mature, we can continue without the imam. Now, I know some of y'all heard we don't need the imam. Didn't say that. What I'm saying is we have enough maturity that things happen. And see, some communities, things happen and don't happen based on the imam. We don't want that. The imam is a servant. The imam represents the Quran and the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the imam represents the healthy aspirations of the public they represent. The public that's given them the trust. The public that they serve. So his agenda has to be part of your agenda. That's all I'm saying. So do your part. And if the imam says, sorry, I'm not going to be there, still carry on. Don't let that dampen your spirit. Don't let that slow down your steps. Keep moving. And believe me, I'm present enough. I'm present enough when I need to be present. And sometimes I have to be absent. So lastly, dear family, this. We have inspired our young people also. Brother Sudan came to me. He said, Brother Imam, we're going to continue this thing we started in Ramadan. All right, I'm embellishing a little bit of some of my work. I gotta sell it, brother. You understand what I'm saying? But basically what he said was, we're gonna do this every other week. Now, we haven't started a date yet, but I like what he's saying, because somebody said once a month, once every other month, and then it quickly came back. That's not, you ain't getting no momentum like that. This once a month, every other month. No, we're gonna lose track. Every other week. Some kind of program with a socialization piece. It don't all have to be academic. It don't have to always somebody giving a khutbah, somebody teach. But we should be learning. Islam is about learning. It's about productive things, not idleness and emptiness. So don't be run away from the learning piece. But at the same time, what really solidifies and what the glue that holds the community together is its social capital, is its socializing. That's where the bonds are really made, when you spend hours. Isn't that what Rasulullah says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know so-and-so. He's the son of such-and-such. Have you done business with him? Well, no. Have you traveled with him? Can't say I've done that either. Then you don't know him. What the Prophet is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you got to spend quality time together. You got to work. So brothers and sisters, you can see I'm excited. I'm happy about this community. And brothers and sisters, we don't say this enough. I love you all. You all are my family. And I know somebody might be sitting there saying, you need to say you love us for the sake of Allah. I know the hadith. Can I be honest with you?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
That statement, of course, is true. If that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us we should do, yes, we should love each other for the sake of Allah. Period. I'm stopping a minute because I don't want anything to interfere with the period. Here's your brother's issue, though. There's a component there that suggests I only love you because you're a Muslim and only love you for the sake of Allah. There's a condition there. And what I'm saying to you is, family, for your brother, there is no condition. I just love you. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.